It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, you do a lot of marriage counseling in your practice. Yeah. And I was asking you before we started, usually probably see people kind of when it's pretty kind of at a crisis situation. So they ain't talking to each other and they think you're going to get them to talk to each other.
They don't come in because it's good news.
No. So yeah. So you wanted to talk about positive problem resolution this week.
Yeah. As we were just discussing this, we've talked about communication before on the show. And I, you know, I've said that basically, when people have difficulty in marriage, it's either communication or, you know, it's trust, it's forgiveness, or it's communication. And we've done shows on that triad. Communication, such a difficult thing for people, I think, in marriage. And the thing is, it's so primary to the relationship. It's absolutely primary to getting along. It's absolutely primary to getting to know one another, for sharing, caring, and possibly because of that, it's when the relationship begins to deteriorate, communication is the first thing to go. And conversely, when you're trying to heal the relationship, communication is probably the first thing you have to really master. But what I find a lot of times is communication is people when it comes right down to it, they don't want to communicate, which is a little bit ironic because that's usually one of the things that they talk about. They'll say we can't communicate, or
and you find that you just don't want to communicate.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I tell sometimes where the counselor having a counseling session with a couple that came in kind of the reporting problem was we can't communicate. So it was a long session, and the counselor was on the sliding fee, and he forgot to calculate that at the beginning, so he's going to collect it at the end of the session. So went way over, and they demonstrated very well how they couldn't communicate about anything. Absolutely, you know, nothing. They didn't get anywhere, and so finally he said, "Well, we've got to wrap it up here." And then he said, "I need to get a idea of what your earnings are, so I can, you know." And so they just looked at each other, and without saying a word, they came up with a number. And he said, "You're communicating now." So it isn't a matter of really that they can't so much. It's that they won't. In fact, we've talked about relationships being distances, and a lot of times people use communication modes or tactics to increase the distance. Somebody will be controlling, domineering, condescending, harsh, loud voice. The other end of the extreme, somebody will just not communicate. Purposely trying to push people away or avoid any kind of communication. Mm. So honest communication, I think one of the things that gets to people is the fact that communication is a kind of vulnerability, because honest communication is really an offering of something, if you think about it. Particularly, we're talking about marriage counseling here, in marriage relationships. So we don't want to get too far out of the lines. We could talk about different kinds of relationships, employer employee, you know, teammates, different things like that. But I just want to focus on the marriage relationship and say that communication is a kind of an offering. If you think about it, whenever I communicate, and there's different levels of communication, obviously, you know, please pass the salt, you know, hey, the sun is shining, those kinds of, you know, that's exchange of data. But even in that, there are ways to say, please pass the salt and the sun is shining. Your good communication is you're offering something. You're offering not only information, but you're offering part of yourself. And that's really the kind of communication that you need in the marriage relationship, where you where you realize that I've talked to people about this and said, you know, you can share yourself in a room with your spouse without even talking. Two people can be sitting in a room reading or in their own projects, and you can have thoughts about the other person, caring thoughts, and you can actually be sharing yourself or vulnerable to that other person without saying a word and without the person even knowing it. And those are the kinds of things that people have to practice religiously if they ever want to, or if they want to continue in good communication, or if they ever want to achieve that. But it's unnatural because it's like I say, it's a form of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And because of our fallen nature, it gets down to our, you know, mortality, really, our fallen nature. It's because of our fallen nature that we have that sentence of death over us and that we fear death. Thinking about Adam and Eve in second chapter of Genesis, where the scripture talks about they were naked and they weren't ashamed. And it was it occurred to me that it doesn't say they were naked and they weren't embarrassed. It says they were naked and they were not ashamed. Well, shame is an internalized message of lack of worth. So when the fall came shame, that sense of lack of worth. Mm. And so to communicate, to be vulnerable, goes against our fallen nature, which is to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I was asking a couple the other day to reflect on liking one another. We've talked about that on the show. You have to like one another, and married couples can get to the place where they don't like one another. So I was asking, what is it about liking one another that feels threatening? And so they did a good job of coming up with some things. You know, we give away power, we give away position, give away control.
If you just admit you like your spouse.
If you just intend to like your spouse, you give away part of your defense mechanism. Mm. The defense mechanism, our natural defense mechanism, I must survive. That implies to me that I need to be in control of the relationship and, can't be too vulnerable, can't be too trusting.
Well, is this withholding love, words of affirmation, love, so that is a way of kind of keeping someone kind of off kilter and off, you know, like you say, a distance where they have to kind of grovel almost to try and get into your good graces.
Yeah.
And I mean, you see that a lot with the parent-child relationship or certainly with an employer-employee, but even in a marriage, that can come in.
It can still be an issue. You know, you think if I determined to care about that other person. You know, the word like is interesting. If I determine to like the other person, the word like, we say that things are alike. These two things are alike, or this is like that. So we got to love the English language. When we talk about liking something, we're talking about more than just having this thing has an appeal to me, particularly when we're talking about liking a person. We're sort of indicating that there's some common ground. There's a likeness. The same with the word kindness. When we talk about treating another person kindly, we use the word kind when we categorize things by kind. We categorize things by kind. So when I treat a person kindly, I'm saying to the person, we have a common ground. We're the same. And it's interesting that in the marriage relationship, which is a divine institution, it's God's idea, the marriage relationship, when I'm treating my spouse kindly, what I'm really celebrating, in a sense, is the image of God, because that's how we're the same kind. And so when I treat a person unkindly, I'm treating them in an ungodly way. If I treat a person kindly, we're celebrating our God-likeness. Mm. So treating a person kindly. So overcoming this resistance that people have to communication, my resistance to communicating is I'm resisting being vulnerable. If I treat another person kindly or if I like the other person, I have to take the focus off myself and put it on the other person. Mm-hmm. I had this situation not too long ago where about communication, people communicating, and I was emphasizing with the husband how that we were talking about some very practical ways of communicating, and this man was focusing on kind of the mechanics of it. So I should say this, or I should say that, or I should say it this way. And so I was trying to get him to focus away from the mechanics of it and on, you know, it's got to come out of your heart. If it comes out of your heart, it'll be natural. If it doesn't come out of your heart and you're just trying to affect the mechanisms, it'll never feel genuine and sincere. So the conversation went around to where he was talking about, okay, if I care from my heart for my wife and I'm communicating in that way, and then she feels attacked. So I was thinking through that, and I thought, well, how would that happen? That would happen only if he's caring about her and she's also caring about her, and that's not the way it works. It's he's caring about her more than he cares about himself, and she's caring about him more than she cares about herself. That's pretty idealistic, but that's really what we're shooting for. Mm. When we resist communicating, we're resisting that vulnerability where I'm caring more about that other person. As the Bible says, let each esteem the other better than themselves. I think that's in Philippians 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sharing when we communicate, the object of that communication. We've talked about the triad, trust, forgiveness, and communion, because we're not just in marriage, we're not just wanting to exchange data. So we don't want to communicate in that we're exchanging data. We want to share our personhood. And really, again, what we're doing when we're sharing our personhood is sharing the goodness of God, because we can't get away from the fact that we're created in God's image. And you know, the thing too is, we could ask, interesting question, ask ourselves would be, why did God create man and woman differently? Why didn't he create, did you ever see My Fair Lady?
Oh yeah.
Why can't a woman be like a man?
I think I remember that one, yeah.
Why did God create men and women differently? And even if you're not a person who really embraces a lot of these, you know, male versus female kinds of psychology things, and men are different, male, you know, I don't know that I go along with a lot of that. But in every marriage, there's a certain dynamic. In some marriages, women kind of, you know, wear the pants, and in the other marriages, the men wear. You know, in our marriage, my wife does the books because she's better at it. In some marriages, the man does the books. It does, you know, we trade off in those gender kinds of behaviors, but there's always the dynamic where the husband and the wife have to work to get on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's intentional. I think God did that to create a dynamic that requires us to surrender to one another. And that's there's a very good reason for that, because unless we can surrender to one another, forgive is an appropriate word, unless we can give to one another at that level, we can't be open to God giving in to us and receiving. So so the whole function of marriage has to do with our not just my relationship with this other person, but my relationship with God and our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at positive problem resolution strategies, I guess you could say, communication mm-hmm. in marriage this week with Daniel Pryor. If you need marriage counseling, maybe you know somebody whose marriage is kind of on the rocks and they need maybe an intervention of some kind. Well, Daniel specializes in that and all kinds of counseling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where we also have years of podcasts and past shows. Also, office is Kirkland Edmonds, and I do Zoom for people that don't want to do the travel or have difficulties
okay.
making it.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with your co-host, Mark Holland, talking with Daniel this week about positive problem resolution in marriage, how to communicate, how to get through tough times. And Daniel continuing how this is... part of what God wants, and he wants, it's part of his nature to communicate.
Yeah, it's part of his nature. Unity, God is, you know, a God of unity. Christ is the Prince of Harmony, the Prince of Peace. And the whole marriage relationship, as we were talking just before the break, the whole marriage relationship is one that has a, that embodies a certain dynamic that requires the husband and wife to surrender to each other. And this is this goes beyond just the relationship of the husband and wife. Our marriage does not just belong to us. My wife and I, our marriage belongs to the body of Christ. It belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the body of Christ. There's something far beyond just our relationship. In Ephesians, Paul talks about the body of Christ being built up by that which every joint supplies according to the working of God in each individual. A joint is a relationship. And so the relationship that you have, the spouses have with one another, is a relationship that feeds into the health of the body, because it brings us, it brings humility, it brings grace, it brings surrender into the body of Christ. And so it's very important that married couples learn to communicate, and this is the nature of God. So when we're communicating and we're treating one another kindly and liking one another, we're actually partaking in the nature of God, the purpose of God, and it goes beyond our marriage. It feeds the body of Christ, and even that is for a greater eternal purpose. So we need to keep those things in mind. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to move on to some of the ways that we correct the process, and of course the process is one of yielding, forgiving, and I'll say here, we've done the triad before, but if you want to understand forgiving, just scribble out the F-O-R. Forgiving is about giving. And so this frustrates us because we resist it, and we talked about the resistance. We're resisting because we don't want to be vulnerable. But when we're living godly lives, we're not vulnerable. We're under his care, and we're living according to his purpose. The first thing we have to do in communicating is to keep in mind the overall objective. And I was just talking about that. It goes beyond just my learning to like and to be kind to my wife and esteeming her of greater value than myself and really serving her. It goes beyond that. Our relationship together is critical to the health of the body of Christ. And so we need to keep that in mind. That should be a primary focus. Anytime we are going to engage in a conversation that we, by our experience, we know that this is something we don't tend to agree on. Maybe, you know, as a married couple, there are conversations that you have to have. Maybe they have to do with parenting. Maybe they have to do with finances. Maybe they have to do with vocations and locations. And you get into these conversations and you never quite agree on them. Or maybe it has to do with extended family members. And so you get into these conversations and you never quite agree. One thing you should focus on before you say anything is the overall purpose of this communication. You know, if we can communicate kindly and honorably and lovingly, we're really growing in the nature of God. We're becoming more godly. We're practicing godliness. So that's the first thing to keep in mind, that overall purpose. Mm-hmm. The process should follow the purpose. So I have the purpose in mind, then the process will be one that works toward the purpose. But if I lose sight of the purpose and I put the process in the place of the purpose, where it's just trying to resolve the issue without realizing the purpose behind the way we communicate, then I'm pretty lost. Mm-hmm. The second one is empathy, and putting empathy, the dictionary definition of empathy has to do with a physiological response to someone else's experience. Now, that's a choice that we make, and I often use the example of driving along and come up to an intersection, and there's a person off to the side with a sandwich board that says, need help, need work, need money, need a handout. Mm. And so that I can choose not only how I respond to the person, but I can choose how I feel about the person, and I can choose how deeply I feel about the person. So that's a matter of empathy. Now, empathy doesn't mean that I agree with the other person or that I'm condoning the other person's behavior. Empathy means I'm putting myself in the other person's place, trying to put myself in their place until their behavior makes sense. Their behavior may be wrong, but I need to understand how it makes sense to them, and then move on from there. Mm-hmm. We can correct the behavior. I can challenge the behavior, but I first need to empathize. The other day, a man said to me, "How can I prove to my wife that I empathize with her feelings?" And my response was, "Well, listen to her feelings. If you're not willing to listen to the other person's feelings, and why wouldn't I do that?" Because sometimes it feels like an attack. Mm-hmm. If I feel guilty that I've done something and someone is telling me, my wife's telling me about how she feels.
You caused me pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like an attack. Mm-hmm. But I have to be willing to listen to that. Mm-hmm. Now, she may be wrong, and I may be able to say later, it wasn't an attack, you know. Mm-hmm. But first I need to listen to the feelings. I need to empathize. I need to try to put myself in her place and try to understand why she felt that way. Then we can address whether I intended that. Mm. So empathy is critical. Putting yourself in the other person's place until you understand how their behavior made sense to them. Mm-hmm. And then you can go from there. Mm-hmm. The third one is always purposing to serve. As we've said before, esteeming the other better than yourself. In Philippians 2, you're familiar with that passage where it says, doing nothing in vainglory, but preferring one another, esteeming the other better than yourself. And then it goes into the example of Christ, who, even though he was in the form of God, it says, and I've heard it said this way, that he didn't consider that position something to be grabbed at. But he submitted himself, he condescended, he came to earth, and he submitted himself even to the role of a servant and even the death on the cross. So we have this divine example how we should be in order to be godlike, and in order to reflect his nature, we should be esteeming the other person, caring more about the other person, caring about that person's feelings. How do I take care of my spouse, not myself? Now, it doesn't work out really very well if that's one-sided, does it? It's got to work two ways. But mm-hmm. I can't worry about whether right. my wife is thinking correctly about it. Right. I've got to be concentrating on how. So typically, if one will lead out and be patient, it will be a lot better outcome than if I start out to care about my wife, but I don't feel like she's going to reciprocate, and so I change my battle plan, and I start attacking. Then you know how mm-hmm. that goes. Mm-hmm. So a fourth one after purpose to serve, the fourth one is I say sans negative emotions, and this is just one of those things where we just have to just determine that I'm not going to have a negative emotion about this other person. I'm going to concentrate on caring about the other person. If they say something that comes at me a little bit sideways, I'm not going to respond with a negative emotion about that. That really leads me into the next one. Respond or reply to the message, not the method. So a lot of times we code our messages wrong. Someone says to me, that's what you always do. You always do that. You always say that. And of course, right. I say that isn't true. But I don't want to respond to the method. I want to respond to the message. You know, what is the person really saying? They're hurting. They're frustrated. That's what I want to respond to and reply to. I don't want to respond to the way in which they term it, because that may not be correct. Mm. And the sixth one that I have here, just a reminder that only vulnerability is ever going to lead to trust. You're never going to have trust if you're not willing to be vulnerable. Now, those don't exhaust it, and you could probably write a book on each one of those six. But they, I think they're pretty good basic pointers. The idea of being kind, liking, and of course, it's not a light switch. You don't just do this one day and things change. It's a process itself of learning to do better and raising the bar. And a lot of times, people need coaching on this, and they need in a lot of the sessions. We will actually, people will come in with an argument that they had in the week, and I'll say, "Well, let's argue it again." Mm-hmm. And see if we can't come up with a better way of resolving it.
Okay, and Daniel, you love to coach people in their marriage situations, counseling marital problems. We've been looking at positive problem resolution this week, some tips on that. And for more, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, email address is at thebiblebasedcounselor.com, biblebasedcounselor.com, where you'll also find years of radio podcasts, this show included. I have offices Edmonds, Kirkland, and I also do a lot of Zoom for people who don't want to get into traffic or it's just a more convenient for them.
Okay, so. Always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.